You're listening to Mind Over Markets, a podcast on trading psychology to help you build a bulletproof mindset. Here's your hosts, George Papazov and Mark Borscht.
Hello, trade pros, and welcome back to another episode of the Mind Over Markets podcast. This week, we celebrate International Women's Day, and we just want to take a moment to send our gratitude and appreciation to all of the female traders out there. We appreciate you guys. More specifically, today's episode is going to focus the spotlight on one of the female traders in our trade pro community. Because look, it's no secret that the trading industry unfortunately remains dominated by men, but there are a growing number of female traders out there silently killing the markets, and we want to see more. One of those female traders, who's our very own options trader, Sarah Glass, is with us today to discuss her journey into the trading world, some of the challenges and obstacles she faced on the path to consistent profitability, as well as some insights on why it's important to have female role models in the trading industry, as well as what we can learn from women in the trading world. We're really excited to bring this one to you guys today. Let's go ahead and get started. Welcome our very own trader Sarah Glass to the show. Welcome, Sarah.
Hello, Mark, thank you for having me.
This is so awesome, Sarah, because we're in quarantine and I haven't seen you in a long time. And then this is how I get to see you while recording a podcast. I miss you. How are you doing?
I'm good. I miss you guys too. And it's a nice day here in Toronto. I'm hoping it's, you know, doesn't feel as hopeless here right now with less snow and the sun out. But yeah, I miss you guys too. Happy we can all do this together. And thank goodness for technology.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. Mercury has finished being retrograde. So I never used to be in tune with this stuff a lot. Barbara from our community always tells me about this stuff. But apparently when Mercury is retrograde, things like take a turn for the worse with technology. And you know what? When it was at the peak, that's when TT had their issues. You know, like that's when I had my issues. I always have my issues. Anyways, it's over. Mercury is no longer retrograde.
Good. Oh, good. So we can get back to the norm.
Yeah.
Good.
And because, back to the show, I guess.
You know, you wouldn't have known otherwise considering the issues we had getting this podcast up and running today.
Yeah, exactly. So you guys are in for a treat, the audience. You guys, all the trade pros, you guys are in for a big treat today. And, you know, one of the things that we're really, really excited to have Sarah on here for is number one, she's an awesome trader. And number two, I think this is something that, you know, we see too often in the industry. I think there's a bit of a stigma that this is a boys club. All right. And so what I want to share with the audience here is that we don't want it to be a boys club. All right. We think females make for awesome traders, and Sarah is one such example. And so today we're going to kind of discuss, you know, Sarah's trading journey, how she got started with trading. You know, she is institutionally trained, so we're going to discuss some of that. And then we're also going to take a look at some of the insights from another perspective. Like I mentioned, you know, there's a bit of a stigma that trading is a boys club. And a lot of the, you know, the thoughts and opinions that we hear as, you know, as males in a male dominated industry, we kind of take for granted because we only have our own point of view. But there is another side, and I'm curious to hear, you know, from Sarah's perspective, what that was like getting into a quote unquote male dominated industry, and if there was any kind of you know, beliefs that were kind of held leading into it, and how she's prospering with the trader's lifestyle. So I'm not going to speak too much on that. Let's let Sarah jump on the mic, introduce herself, and we'll get this ball rolling.
So I'm one of the newer additions to the Trade Pro Academy community.
I've been amazing this one.
Is, sorry?
And an amazing one. Sorry,
yes, I need to cut you. In. But. Thank you. I've been trading for, this is year four for me, actually. Something I'm extremely passionate about, if not probably the thing I'm the most passionate about in my life. I absolutely love it. My style is very heavily order flow based. Many, especially retail, they're actually very shocked to hear that because they, you know, you go on YouTube and you look and everything is charts and like, I'm not saying charts aren't important because I use them every day in our live trading room. But how I was trained was very like sophisticated order flow, which I'll highlight is a lot of the secrets are revealed in our new order flow course. But yeah, it's that was my style and I took it from there and it's, you know, it took a while for me to really become profitable as a trader. I'd say like about 2 years of really, like I had other jobs at the time, but I was still trading because that's what I loved. And it took a long time, but then once I really got it and, you know, the COVID-19 pandemic in particular allowed me to do this full time because we were all, everyone at my work was laid off and working from home or whatnot. And it finally got me to help me accelerate and get to a level where I could actually live off of my being disciplined, having a trading plan, learning order flow to a higher, even higher level, integrating charts. It got me to a level where I could live off my trading profits. And on top of that, I started working for a signaling service and that just, you know, made me even more, I guess, experienced. And then now I'm here with you guys and absolutely love it. And there's nothing else in the world I'd rather do.
Awesome. And, you know, we're super happy to have you on the team. You know, it's no secret that you've been a really welcome addition and the community loves you as well. You know, we're joking around that behind the scenes, all you're hearing before the pre-market open is Sarah, Sarah, Sarah. And I imagine that's what the case is likely to be. So you mentioned a couple of things in your introduction here, and I kind of want to touch on the individual aspects of it. The first thing that you kind of mentioned was with regards to this being somewhat of an obsession, all right? And I can argue the same for myself. You know, I'd be willing to go out there that George and Vicky, you know, all the team that we have is also in the same kind of frame of mind where we don't just do this, we live this. You know what I mean? And what I'd like to get from you is to kind of go back to the beginning. You know, where, if you can go back to like your first memory that kind of sparked your passion for trading, because you mentioned it's been around 4 years and it's in and around the same time, you know, give or take a year or two from where I started. And so I'm kind of curious to hear what sparked your interest initially and how you kind of got started with trading.
Yeah, of course. So, well, first off, I've been around it for a long time. My dad has been a pretty heavy investor he's been doing this for about, I'm 32. He's been doing this for about 30 years. So maybe even longer. So he's always done it. My grandpa, his dad, has always been an investor. I mean, I even remember just being a kid and constantly there's just CNBC on or the news with the tickers. Like even when I'm 10, it's just, I've always been around it. it's also really funny because, one of my girlfriends and I, we were going through my parents' basement somewhat recently, and we found a book that, you know, I was like in grade 4 or something, we had to write a book. And this book, it was about this character named George, actually.
Was he curious?
Yeah. He was very curious. And he went and he was looking for a new job. And then he realized he got fired from his job and he realized he didn't like that old job and he needed to find something that made him happy. And he ended up being a stockbroker. And I'm like, that is so funny. If that isn't kind of like a, you know, projection or premonition of things to come, then I don't know what is, right? So I guess I always kind of was always interested, was always around it. And then I had some investments when I was young that were invested in my name by some family members, mainly in ExxonMobil, because my grandpa worked there. And, you know, I cashed some of those in when I was an adult and I decided I kind of wanted to start doing it on my own. And I started investing in stocks at first. And then I was introduced to options by a friend of mine who was a order flow analyst and options trader at one of the big banks here. And he kind of saw my interest in it, I guess. And from there, we just started talking about it all the time. I got approved for options trading. And then I started doing it, but I didn't even like really know what I was doing at first. And I was like just Googling, and I was refreshing like Google charts on my browser like constantly. And then like, okay, I'm going long here. And I just got a sense of where it was going to go. And it was actually worked. Some days I started off with beginner's luck. I was making great money and I really started to love it. But then I realized eventually you can't trade like that, and blew an account. And, you know, but after that, it was a really big lesson. I'm like, you know what? I absolutely love this. I want to take this to the next level. This is something I want to do. And I'm just going to dedicate everything I have to it. And then I went to U of T for, they have this great options trading course, and completed that. And then from there, I got close with my, order flow analyst friend, and he taught me Trade Alert, which was huge. And just concepts. It was almost like a boot camp under him. It was like constant daily for like 6 months of like almost like texting and talking on the phone. It was like really intense, like training under him. It was actually, when I look back, it was really intense. And then from there, I just I met other people that were in the industry and they also helped me. And I just, you know, one of them just sells premium and is a market maker. And it was great. And I just I was lucky to have these connections, I guess. And then I just, like I said, once COVID-19 hit, I really just took it to the next level, and that gave me the opportunity to just get better and better.
Yeah, well, that's a heck of a story. And, you know, one of the things that jumps out to me is that, you know, it seems like your path was a bit different than what the traditional retail trader's journey is like, right? And what I mean by that is in the sense that you actually knew somebody, or I guess you had befriended somebody that was actually doing it profitably and, you know, doing it at an institutional level. So I'm kind of curious, you know, now that you're at a point where you're on the flip side, now you're the one that's also kind of providing mentorship and guidance. How much of a role do you think, you know, having the start of your journey kind of under the wing of somebody that's already doing it profitably, how much of a role do you think that played into getting to where you are now? You know, as far as what were kind of like the processes that this person was doing, that this person was teaching you, versus what you typically see of retail traders, you know, jumping on YouTube and checking out charts?
So I think what really stood out was the fact, I just took such a different path. Right away, I was thrown into Trade Alert, which is this really, really advanced, or it's like you're mining data on it, right? So it's a really advanced software. It's what the big banks use here. Hedge funds use it. You rarely meet anyone in retail who knows Trade Alert, knows how to use it. And there's a really steep learning curve. So I think I was just thrown into learning Trade Alert right away. And that's really how my journey differed. And it's not, you can't find it on YouTube. Like, the YouTube education actually came after Trade Alert, which actually was a blessing in disguise. So that's kind of the reason I think also why I'm here, is because I do offer something that, you know, an industry secret, I guess, that a lot of people, like retail especially, like, it's not for the novice trader, of course, but it really is a gift that I can give, I think, for those who do want to, who are as passionate as I was and really see themselves doing this as a career, as a lifestyle, as to achieve financial freedom. Sorry, does that answer your question?
Yeah, no, okay. Definitely. I mean, yeah, you kind of hit it on the head there, right? Because a majority of people, their journey often starts, you know, I kind of speak for myself here, how my journey started was going on YouTube, you know, initially getting into the industry because I saw, you know, some young people with Lambos and they were like, I got this by trading. So I was like, I want a Lambo too. Let me start trading. Let me see what this is about. Right. And so it started off kind of like, that's what got me into the industry. And then from there, it was kind of like, you're almost putting the pieces of the puzzle together with the free resources that you can get Mm-hmm. Right. And so, you know, my journey was, you know, free resources, putting the pieces of the puzzle, you know, watching a ridiculous amount of YouTube, and just trying to put pieces of the puzzle together using concepts I found, testing that in the market, seeing what worked for me, what didn't, and then kind of building on it from there. And then after a while, once I was like, you know what, I could probably do this faster, or it'll be, the learning curve will be a little bit not as steep if I get a mentor, you know what I mean? And I think that is the traditional route, you know, finding, getting interested on it because of, you know, something flashy on social media, and then going in and kind of trying to put the pieces of the puzzle together. Because a lot of people, they think, you know, I'm a smart person, you know, I can figure this out. If there's other people doing it, I can figure it out. But what's interesting for your journey is that, you know, you took the opposite. You already got in, you started it effectively with a mentor. And so I think that's really, really powerful.
Yeah. You know what else, Sarah, like that I really like about your story is that, you know, like Mark mentioned, you started with where most people end up, but they have to spend thousands of dollars realizing that, you know, this is where I have to get. It's like, it's like Trade Alert, for example. You mentioned that software. I know some listeners are going to go and look at it now and try to get a subscription to it, et cetera. And you see it quoted in financial press all the time, according to the Trade Alert, right? But it's one of those things that it's like learning on YouTube how a root canal is done and then going to try it yourself on yourself. Yeah. It's like, and I think that's how the industry is too. It's one thing to have the software. It's another thing to know how to use it, when to use it, how to, like you said, data mining, how to compile something that makes sense out of it. And I think for me, when I started my journey, I didn't have that. Like, I started before the internet was around. Okay, well, no, not really, but like pretty close. In the early 2000s, there was nobody. Like, in order for you to learn trading, you have to sit on a trading desk, right? And it's cool that you had that contact right off the get-go. And I think that shows in the way that you trade. And I was just wondering, like, along your journey, before you got a hold of that friend that was able to bless you with the opportunity to teach you how to use this platform, did you do other things? Like, did you go online, try to find any other education? Or was your friend really your introduction to trading when you're like, okay, I got to start doing this now?
So there was some, like, there was interest. But I would, like, I started with stocks, like I said. And, you know, and I was happy. Like, if I, like, bought, like, some Apple shares and made, like, $100, I was, like, ecstatic, you know. It's like, woo, you know, I'm getting it, right? But to get into options and what options are, that was definitely introduced to me. And once I learned options and order flow, and, you know, it was really life-changing for me. I never really went back to stocks, actually. I even, like, I do have, of course, some long-term investments, but even then I went to leaps, right? Like, it's it's just, that's really what it was. It was more the introduction through the friend, and just the exposure of the stock market. My father does not trade options. He does ask me to buy him leaps a lot, which I do. But, you know, he was just being around market talk in general, growing up, kind of sparked my interest in the market, and then options sparked through a friend. And I was just very blessed, you know, like what happened in my situation doesn't happen in 99.9% of retail, right? So it was just kind of it's kind of like kismet, you know? It was like, this is what I love more than anything. And like, I did not know what I wanted to do for so long. I could not find something that fit my personality. Like, I was good, but like, I never felt passionate about any of the other jobs that I did. But this was just, it was a game changer.
Can I ask you quickly, Sarah, like, for somebody listening to this podcast who has no idea what order flow is and what you actually do, you know, which is, when I met you, that's how I felt about you. I'm like, I don't really know what she does, but she seems to be doing it well. Let's bring her on the team. Yeah, now I get it.
She knows something I don't.
Yeah, exactly. And I've been doing this for a long time and I was very impressed. So can you just like give somebody the quick like explanation of what you actually do with order flow and how that gives you an edge in your trading style?
Yeah. So, you know, that is a subject I can actually talk about for probably hours, considering I just did a whole course on it.
I saw the videos. I was going to say, I know.
Yeah, just completed it two nights ago. And I think there's still going to be about 80% of people are going to have a lot of questions after, because it's so steep, the learning curve for advanced order flow. It takes a long time. But really what order flow is you're following the smart money. We hear it all the time on CNBC with John and Pete Najarian, I believe their names are. But they're right. They have a point. Like I said earlier, you know, banks aren't really, and hedge funds, a lot of them don't even look, like, they don't really use charts anymore. You know, like, they do, but, you know, like, I know someone like Kathy Wood kind of does and whatnot, but, like, a lot of them don't. They're very secondary to flow, and the reason why is you're literally just looking for smart money and buying certain equities, and you're following their trades because it's almost like following insider trading. You're just trying to find who knows something. And if someone knows something and you know sentiment, like, do you really need a chart? Not always, right? You don't, right? So right, it's, yeah. You might want to make sure the broader market, like, sentiment is, let's say you're buying calls or stocks on a name and you want to make sure that, you know, the SPY is up and the VIX is down. Yeah, that makes sense. But you know, that's what you're looking for. You're just looking for smart money. Now, something like Flow Algo kind of offers more of a, it has these preset filters on the back end, right? It's probably actually connected to Trade Alert and, or another order flow platform that has no filters. And, it's, you know, I find it really good for momentum trading. But I don't, you know, fully rely. I'm looking for smart money when I go into swings, when I go into something heavy. You know, that's really what I'm looking for. I'm just looking to follow the smart money, and that's what order flow is. And that's what order flow is at the highest level, really. That's the concept. And, you know, it's a game changer once you integrate that into your, you know, trading plan. It really can just change everything.
You know what I love about order flow too, Sarah? And, like, I trade order flow on futures. Is that you could have an opinion, you could have an idea, you could put out reports, you could talk till the cows come home, but, like, all of that is, you then got to take it and be like, okay, how long are they? What are they actually doing? Are they buying? Where have they bought? Order flow is, like, exposes everything. It's like, it's raw market data. It's like, it's one thing to say, oh, I like the stock. It's another thing to see $100 million buy it, right? It's right. Like, it's the people doing the analysis, it's the last step when they execute the trade and be like, okay, how much skin do you got in the game? Yeah. And if there's hundreds of millions of skin in the game, hey, you know what? I might put on $1,000.
Like, yeah, why not? True.
So you're pretty much following the smart money like you mentioned. I find that fascinating. I didn't want to go that deep into this because you do this for a community every day. We get to see you in action and you crush it on a daily basis.
Thank you.
But I wanted to kind of clarify that for the people listening on the edge that order flow really gives you in your trading.
Well, like I said, I can go on. Like, please don't, like, feel the need to cut me off because I can go on and on and on about this. I've been doing this for, like, learning and perfecting this craft for, you know, years now. Like, so it's, I can talk so much about it. Like, even the course, it's 6 modules. I didn't even go into the really deep stuff. And it's already going to be like something you're going to have to watch quite a few times. So yeah, it's like, that's my point. I can just talk about it a lot. So I'm going to go a little bit deep in it sometimes. Just say, okay, Sarah, we've heard enough. We get it.
I love that passion. Like, you're so passionate about the industry that what you learn in 4 years, I'm willing to bet would take somebody who just dabbles in it like 12 to learn. You know, like, even though it's 4 years, it's like an accelerated 4 years because for those of you that know Sarah, if she gets passionate about something, you're not convincing her otherwise. You're just going to get it done. You know, get out of her way.
It's true. Like, I'm a bit of, when it comes to this, I'm a total workaholic, you know, like I love it. And, you know, there's nothing else I'd really rather do with my time, yeah, especially seriously. When you're in lockdown. So
yeah.
Why not? No,
that's exactly it. I think that's kind of encapsulates the whole team here at TradePro. You know, it's like we're all super enthusiastic about what we do and we're passionate about it. And I feel like that's what our community gets value from. And in addition to that, it's like, it's how you get things like this podcast come to be, right? It's because we're passionate about this. We want to share the message with the global community. And so, you know, going back to your example here of, you know, order flow being something that really, really kind of changed your, I don't want to say changed your trading, but something that really helped the trading. And so I'm kind of curious, Were you using that at the start, or, you know, some of the mistakes you were making at the start? Because you mentioned it took, I think it was around 2 years, you mentioned, to kind of start seeing results, if you will. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of curious, what were some of the initial mistakes that you were making, and what you kind of had to change around, what you had to refine in order to start getting to that place where you're starting to make consistent profits?
I think I needed discipline, to be honest. Because I would just say, oh, okay, I'm seeing, you know, and a lot of noobs do this, and but they haven't really blown an account before or whatnot, so they don't really know the downside of the risk. But I would say, okay, I have this great, like, order flow platform, and I can see all this back end stuff. You know, I'm just going to take a huge position in it, right? And what I've done since to, we've all done it, right? But, we're all guilty.
Oh, yeah.
But, that's how I blew my first account too.
Yeah. Like it's like a rite of passage. You're going to blow an account. So just, you know, make that account small. Like we have this saying in the industry, you pay the market to teach you. Right. So, So I think it was just more so risk management, discipline. Actually, integrating charts was nice. I always have like a little, like with momentum trading, like I said, you're kind of in and out of things. It's a lot of scalping, so I can't really do that then. But if I'm entering a swing, I do have a little checklist. So I make sure that all the criteria is met on my checklist. I ensure that you have to read the Greeks, or else you're not going to know what the buyer's objective is. And that is so important in order flow. Like if you can't really get a sense, like you'll get to a level, which is what I'm at now, where you can look at something and know what the Greeks are, even in flow algo, you'll know, okay, it's like this, right? This is going to have a 40, 50% delta. It's going to have, you know, the IV is pretty high. Theta is going to be high because it's expiring this week. Like it's very, you'll get to that level and it's very useful. So I think also just going super deep into learning order flow and just like patience with a P-A-Y, patience. And
that's now copywritten. I've been using that for like not decades, but at least like 7, 8 years. And I was crushed to find out somebody copywrote it. Yeah.
Got it on a shirt and everything. I know.
Yeah. Sorry to cut you off, but I just wanted to share my frustration with someone. No one's listening anymore.
We're all frustrated about that patience. But yeah, and so I guess, yeah, patience, learning the Greeks, learning charts, just really dedication and discipline are really what changed my trading career. It's why I'm here now. When we first met at that party, George, which is a little fun fact, we met at a party. That was when I remember, because you were telling me about Trade Pro Academy, and I was like, oh my God, are you hiring? So I was like obsessed with options, but I was not at this level yet. And then my boyfriend at the time was like, oh my God, don't hire her. Like, do you remember that?
He said, don't hire her.
She has just blown an account. Like he was just, and I was like, what is your problem?
Like, that's why he was a boyfriend at the time.
We didn't last much longer, but, I was like, are you kidding me? Like, this is like my dream. But, even that was like a little, you know, just being able to say, like, have this accomplishment and get to this level, it's been great. It's really, it's totally changed my trading style. It's something, you know, I want to share and teach that, you know, you do need to have, this isn't something where, you know, you see people YOLOing their account and game and making money. That's going to work for the short term, but you need to be able to come up with a style to have consistent profits and achieve that freedom and overall your dreams. So that's really what, you know, just being able to teach what I've learned myself is rewarding, and it totally changed my life. That's why I'm here now on this podcast with you.
So Sarah, can I tell you something about that party that I've never mentioned to anyone? Like, we manifested each other. By the way, what your ex-boyfriend said at the time didn't really affect. I was like, this is good. She should have blown account. She's learning. You know, it's like, huh. But at that party, I literally, out of nowhere, I had this intuitive message. I said, I should message my friend. And I used to hang out with him a lot when I lived in Scarborough. But out of nowhere, I just messaged him, like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm just hanging out. You want to go to this barbecue thing with me? I'm like, yeah, let's go. And I literally, the last time I seen him before we went to that party was like 2 years in person. It's crazy. I chat with him a lot on text, but he's busy. I'm busy. And I haven't seen him since. And so it was wild that I had this intuitive message. I'm like, let me message him and see what he's up to. It's weird. Like, we were meant to connect, and I'm so happy for it.
Me too. Wow. That's fantastic. And even like when you just hired me back in November, I was like, didn't even know. I'm like, how did you even, that was like one of my best friend's barbecues. So I'm like, how did you even end up there? You know, cause I haven't seen you at any of her parties since.
Man, I was wondering the same thing when I was there. I was like, what was I meant to get out of this? Eating hot dogs. I mean, I had a good time. It was great. Sometimes I overwork myself too. I'm guilty of it. So I'm like, this is cool. The universe was telling me to relax. But then later on, when we connected again, when Victoria reached out to you, I was like, this makes sense.
Yeah, it's all coming together. So, and I'm happy he did.
Good stuff.
And, you know, I remember Victoria, he messaged me and was like asking about options because he was only trading futures at the time.
Yeah.
And I was talking about Kodak. I was actually making all these really angry statuses about Kodak. This is when Kodak went to $60 per share in a day and I shorted it. Got burned, of course. But actually, no, I didn't, because the implied volatility, for those who don't know what that is, it's what's priced into the contract, and it actually increases when your contract garners more interest and volume. The implied volatility actually increased, and I got out green with profit because I got in before the implied volatility increase, the day before.
Amazing.
So that's how he messaged me. I was going off about Kodak. I was in quarantine at my cottage, and it's not much to do in the woods, I guess, at night. So I was venting about
Nothing
Kodak.
Nothing good happens in the woods at night.
Yeah, I was venting about Kodak, had some wine with my best friend, and was just pissed. But yeah, I'm happy he reached out, and maybe that's what sparked his interest back in options, and now he's doing great. So,
well, you know what else is cool about that? So TradePro started in 2012 with the Foundations course, and then part of that was like options lessons. And then our first options course was launched in like 2014, you know, and then like probably about a year before we met, we made a team decision to kill options. And like, you know, at the time I was looking back at it, that's a poor decision. That's a bad trade. But then I think it was meant to happen because then you come on board and now we've taken the options from like where we used to do it, simply just looking for a call or put based on technical analysis off chart, to what we do now. I could tell you, I don't know anyone in this industry, you know, and I know a lot of professional traders that does it the way that you do on that level. And then Vicky comes in with that, you know, trading and technical know-how as well. And you guys, when you pair up in the trading room every day, like, it, I wish I could be there more, but I'm running the futures room too. it's great. I think right now there's record volume of options being traded. I think anyone who's out there trading has probably heard of options. In 2012, when I was trying to teach options, people were like, why would I need to know all this stuff? This is crazy. I'm just going to trade stocks. And I'm happy that the industry's grown so much. It's hands down the best way to take a little bit of money and turn it into a lot if you have risk management protocols.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, Sarah, you mentioned at one point here when we were talking about, you know, some of the initial mistakes that you were making, and what really kind of changed the trading around for you was discipline, risk management, and dedication. All right. And so I think that's important first and foremost for the audience to hear, because, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but you at that point you already had the technical know-how of, you know, order flow, right? Is that correct?
Yes, but even so, something like, you know, from a decade from now, probably I'll be saying I'm still learning, right? It's just one of 100%. Those things. So I did have some, but it still wasn't definitely at the level that I'm at today.
Yeah, exactly, right? And so what's important to note about that is that, you know, just having order flow, just having access to order flow doesn't mean you're going to be a successful trader. All right. And it takes these things, discipline, it takes risk management. And the one that's the most important, I think, here is the dedication part. And I kind of want to touch on that because that leads into the next question. You know, as it relates to dedication, you know, you're going to be putting in a lot of hours, especially when you're starting. And, you know, Granted, now you probably don't spend as much time about the learning thing, you know, learning how to do it. You're spending more time researching. But I'm kind of curious if you have like any routines in place that you use on a daily basis to kind of help you keep on top of, you know, the markets pre-open. And if there's anything that you kind of do as far as like self-care before the market opens to make sure that you're ready to go.
Yeah, well, I can let you know my morning routine if you like. So
yeah, please. Jack Daniels?
Yeah, Jack Daniels. Two coffees in a row. No, nice. It actually is two coffees, sometimes three coffees. But I like to be awake, obviously. But also just waking up and just trying to relax, but looking just kind of in a calm state of mind. What got an upgrade? What got a downgrade? What's the overall sentiment? What do futures do? What are the pre-market movers? What has volume pre-market? Because we know it's not a material move if there's no volume pre-market, right? Is there a catalyst? Is there not? Lately, it's been where's the money rotating? Because it rotates so fast since the beginning of 2021. If you're not in it, you have to be in it, right? And then I also, there's other things I do. I check share activity a lot, actually. Pre-market share activity, end of day share activity, after hours share activity. That's a huge thing, which I actually go over in my course, because end of day and after hours share activity, there's not as nearly as great of a chance that it is an order connected to options. So therefore, if you can read if it was bought or asked, or bought or sold, then you have a really clear directional bias in the ticker. So that's one thing I do like to check, is just to see what was bought, what was sold. And just kind of painting the picture. I mean, that's what you have to do every day, right? Then Victoria and I start talking about the watch list. What are we seeing? What are some good setups? And then, you know, you just kind of have to go into it with a calm state of mind and no expectations. Mentality is nothing matters until 9:30. EST. You have to trade what the market gives you, really. If you go in with too much of a bias, you can also be burnt, right? So it's really about, you know, and it's a lot of people say this, and I see it hands down. Meditation and trading it's unbelievable, the connection of having kind of letting go of attachment and not having expectations and all these principles that you learn in mindfulness. Is like, if you can kind of attain that and implement it in your trading plan and just kind of trade what you see, that's what I try to do every morning, is just do it with a clear head and not get too attached and not get attached to an outcome of my day. And, you know, just even having that mind state and then just applying the analysis on top of that is really what I try to do every morning. I mean, there's some mornings I, of course, take a little bit of a haphazard approach. Maybe I'm tired or... Right. But I try not to. I try to stay disciplined. I try to stick to my plan. And that's how I like to start my trading day.
So, yeah. Sarah, do you mind if I ask you, like, what time do you like wake up to be at the trading desk at 9:30?
I usually wake up at 7:45.
Nice. And then, like, do you do any stuff, like, do you do the meditation before you start? Because I'm fascinated about successful traders' routines. I like to kind of learn from them, and I have my own, and we all have our own routines. Like, then what do you do? Can you walk us from like 7:45 until the first piece of market thing you do? I'm just curious if I can know that.
Yeah, sure. So I wake up, I make my coffee, and really I just clear my mind. Like, I have my dog Lucy, who I love more than anything, and you know, she wants a treat. She wants to eat. She's so happy to see me. So I've cuddle her a bit, you know, have my coffee and just relax, really. It's more so like, I'm not in a deep meditative state or anything, but it's more so just being calm and being in the moment, I guess, and just enjoying yourself and just getting a good start to your day. And it doesn't have to be like, wake up, oh my God, trade, you know, I'm so excited. It's more like, I just want, like, let's just get into a good mindset in general for my day, trading aside. So that's what I try to do every morning. If you don't do that, you can be emotional. You can emotionally trade, and we all know that's a recipe for disaster. You'll blow an account if you do. So, you know, it's more so just something that I try to do, but I almost do it unconsciously at this point because it's something I implemented so long ago, is just having kind of a clear head. So yeah, it's just every morning I do that.
So you get the coffee, you clear your head, and then you sit down and start looking at market things.
Yeah, pretty much.
Cool. That's awesome. Love that. I mean, we all kind of have the same different ways of doing the same thing, right? Wake up. I think that's the quote of the episode. Like, first thing in my routine is wake up.
Have the coffee. Yeah.
I hope that keeps happening for the next 900 years, Sarah. I hope you get to wake up every day.
Thank you. I'm knock on wood that comment.
Yeah, exactly. You got it, right? And you mentioned about a whole bunch of gems there with regards to, you know, kind of your routine. And the things that I've noted here are, you know, no expectations. I think that one was huge. And letting go of attachments, right? So, you know, you've had a, given where you've come from before you came over to TPA and where you are now with TPA, you know, you've obviously been in a position where you can see the, I guess, the journey of the retail trader and how they come into this industry with a certain set of expectations. So my question for you, Sarah, is can you kind of speak on like the importance of setting proper, realistic expectations when you're a new trader?
Yeah, of course. So the thing is with trading is it's, especially in 2020, it seemed to have just blown up, especially with the younger crowd and options with Robinhood, and you know, it's just gone crazy. And we see like on Instagram and you know, just online, and that there's all these profitable traders with all this money, and it's just, oh, you only have to work two hours a day and you can have a, you know, a Lambo. And it that's not how it works. You have to have realistic expectations. I mean, if you have a $1,000 account, go and try and make, you know, even if you make 50, 100 bucks a day, and put a little bit of that aside and put it in a save. Like, even if it's, okay, let's say you make 100 bucks, put 50 bucks aside and 50 bucks back in the market, you know, and just kind of start being disciplined off the bat. Don't get greedy. You know, you need to keep your greed in check always, or else you will blow that $1,000 and you may actually be discouraged from doing this again. But it, you know, if you can just try and, you know, like, you will have to pay the market to teach you somewhat, but if you can try and implement some really good strategies early on, I really think it could be, you know, it is something you can achieve. You can be successful in this business. I mean, we all take losses, right? Even at our level, you know, even George has been doing this for what, 20 years, and even you do, right? Like, it's,
yeah, for sure.
We're all going to take, my dad does, everyone, but you know, at the same time, we just have to make sure we stick to our plan and don't stray from it. And, you know, don't get greedy. Don't have high expectations. Don't think you're going to be a millionaire because you saw millionaires from GameStop. You know, that's not really realistic. Like, in this case, it's funny I'm saying that. I'm sorry to stray a bit, but, you know, GameStop has moved again. And I, like I said, I don't think lightning usually strikes twice, but in this case, it kind of did. But that's not really realistic over a 30-year career of trading. So just don't go in there with high expectations. Don't FOMO in. Just start small and grow. And once your account grows, you will grow. Your skills will grow. So that's probably the best advice I could give to a newer trader.
Awesome.
I love that. Once your account grows, your skills grow too. They go hand in hand, right? I think the most dangerous thing is a new trader trying to out-earn their capability. You know, then there is a concept like borrowed money. If anyone was part of the GME when we did that podcast, remember, Mark, what the advice partially of that is? Like, if you made $1 million and that was your first trade, you better take some of that out of the trading account. Do something with it, right? Like, I think people's expectations at the beginning are a really big hindrance. And, you know, I've been kind of thinking about this, starting with a $1,000 account versus putting in 10K. And you know, like, it's a disadvantage sometimes to start small with big expectations. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because a lot of listeners are out there who, you're going to help a lot of people who are out there saying, hey, I got 1,000, how do I turn it to 100K? It's like, that's not the goal.
Yeah, like, tomorrow.
Yeah.
No, it's not. it let now, I mean, sure, if you've gone to GameStop, maybe, but like we said, it's kind of rare. And of something like 80, I think Chris said actually the figure this morning in the live room was 80 or 88% of traders who got into GameStop actually lost, right? So,
yeah,
you know, this new, like these young traders that come in and, you know, they come in by in droves now and that are just going and trying to YOLO their account into things when they don't really know what they're doing yet. Maybe watch a few YouTube videos and get lucky. I had beginner's luck, so I know that feeling. And they pay the price for it, right? Like it's just not realistic. It's not a longevity play.
Isn't that the worst thing that could happen to you as a trader? Like I started with beginner's luck too. It's like, I think one of the worst things that could happen to you is you start and you make good money fast. Like that's probably the worst way your career could start. I know it sounds counterintuitive, but it gives you that false confidence that now, okay, so what are you going to do? If you took 1,000, turn it to 50K, your next trade, you're not trading $1,000 of a trade, you're going 50K. And that could easily turn into zero. And so now you had 1,000 that was 51,000, and now you're left with nothing. And you've done $50,000, $51,000 worth of damage for a $1,000 cost. You know, that's,
right.
I think that's so damaging to the psychology. I think that's why at the beginning we always advocate our traders like start small. It's easy to scale up with winners than it is to scale down once you're losing.
Right. And like you don't want to be one of those people with their like, what's it called? Loss porn. On Wall Street bets, right? Like it's like, oh, I made $1,000 into $100,000 into $400,000, and now I'm back to $5,000, right? Like it's like they're still up, no, but it's like it's still, you don't want to be those traders. I mean, those traders, I'm gonna let you know right now, they're a market maker's dream. You know, these, like I said, these droves of new traders on Robinhood. There's a reason why Robinhood is selling their order flow to institutions, because they're selling you these contracts and they're, the sharks always win. So that's why, circling back to order flow, we like to follow smart money because smart money always wins. So that's what we teach in the order flow course, or at least the fundamentals of it.
If somebody's got a lot of money at whatever point they're in their life, they either did it because they made smart decisions or it was illegal. Either way, I want to know what they're doing. That's the important part. So yeah, this is great. Sarah, I want to like go a little bit into, I mean, I think TradePro as an organization, I think we're innovative in a lot of ways. But one of the things that blew my mind the other day is that we actually now officially have more females working at TradePro Academy than males. And I wanted to transition. Yeah. And I celebrate that, you know, I'm proud of that. And I'm proud of the team. And, you know, and that wasn't the goal. You know, that's why it surprised me. I wasn't out there saying, let's find some females. There's too many dudes in this trading room. But
it's a sausage fest.
Yeah, exactly. We need some diversity. Yeah, Mark. But you know, the goal was,
he wants to be at that party, right? Sorry, okay,
go on. Yeah, exactly. He wants to come to our party. Nah.
Yeah, not that one. Those are the parties you leave.
Yeah. So I was like, let's find the best people for these roles, and it's been great because the best people has naturally led us to a balanced organization. So I'd like to know, like, from your career starting in finance and being a female trader, you know, what challenges that presented and maybe some things you had to overcome to get, or maybe even things you're still kind of dealing with and battling with in terms of perception. Like, I'd love to be able to pick your brain on that because, you know, you're the first female guest, not the last for sure. And so you're trailblazing here again.
Thank you. So I think one of the challenges maybe would have been, like, I'm not a super flashy, like a little here and there, a little lifestyle, but I'm not a super flashy person. I'm not showing my success. Like, I'm not flashing it on Instagram. I'm not, you know, I'm not doing, I don't take that technique. Like, I don't, it just doesn't resonate with me. So I guess it's more like kind of showing what you've worked for and whatnot. Maybe people don't really, like, right off the bat, you know, they see, like, they don't see what I've gained from my trading. So that's not something that's really gender. That's just because of my gender. That's just something in general that I think all of us can relate, because none of us are like that. But also, I guess in regards to being a female, it was more so getting recognition at first, to say, okay, listen, like, we're, you know, it's like, let's say like a Discord, for example, like, it's a lot of the time like 80%. Like, this is changing now, but a year ago, all of them were like 80, 85% male, I would say. It really was a boys' club. And I think it was being someone who was signaling at first and whatnot. It was like, I guess more so, I had to prove myself a little bit more to say, listen, I know what I'm doing and my technique is totally different than everyone else in this room, but it's, you know, it works, right? And as I was doing that and I was kind of saying, because I did work at a signaling service, as I was telling people to buy things and whatnot, and once I started seeing results and seeing my method and just, I always shared my own, like, knowledge in the group and whatnot, it really started gaining, like, wow, like, Sarah's trades are good, right? Like, I get messages till this day saying, like, you know, your trades were, like, we miss you, like, your trades were great, you know? And, yeah, it's just more so, I guess, more to prove, really. But, you know, that's changing. I mean, like, that's changing, that's in every industry, right? It's changing. A lot of these industries were all male-dominated, and, you know, now there's a, females are forced to be reckoned with, and, you know, I think that's just going to keep going.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I think like part of it's like the reason trading is a male dominated industry too, I would imagine, is that like that it's just history was male dominated before, right? And the roles are shifting and changing. And, you know, a lot of traders don't realize one of the most successful traders in futures was a female, right? Like she, they called her Large Marge, Margie Teller. Yeah, is her name. At one point, she traded the euro dollars. At one point, she was 10% of all volume on a daily basis. That's like institutions couldn't do that. She was controlling 10% of the entire volume of the euro dollar pit. The euro dollar in the pit days was massive. It would be the equivalent of ES futures today. Like that was a liquid one. Yeah, that's where that's the whole game. It was that. And so, you know, her story is fascinating too. She's like a small lady. Large Marge would. People get a visual of like a larger person, but she was tiny, very short. She took vocal lessons. Like there's different techniques. I read this, kind of fascinating. A little bit of a detour, I guess, from our show here, but she got vocal coaches, and there's actually trading vocal coaches that would tell you how to read out an order so you could be heard. And one example, this is cool. Instead of saying sell, because you can't say sell loud because the S is so silent, they would train them to say it with a Z. So it'd be Zell. So you can really scream it at the top of your lungs and communicate. So it's like, you know, I think part of that history is glazed over, and I'm fascinated to see more females in the industry because I don't think that suddenly there's more females interested in trading. I think they always were. They were just, it was harder for them to put that intention out there, right? And I think we've come to a good place in terms of them joining the industry. I've always, and we're going to do an event for this. We're really excited coming up, but I've always found it like, you know, especially mothers, like we just had a child, right? You have 9 months at home. There's something you could start to do on your own. So I'm just curious, like what advice would you have for newer female traders who are afraid to get started in this industry? Like maybe they want to do it, but they're afraid to tell their friends because they're going to be, you know, maybe judged, whatever it is. What would be your advice to them and how you got through it?
Well, I think don't let other people's opinion hold you back from something you'd like to do, something you'd like to explore. It's, you know, maybe there's some people that when I first started, they'd be like, oh, options is so risky and options is this and it's gambling. It's like going to the casino. And you know what? Like some people it is, but it's all about your mindset, right? So for me, it's not going to the casino. Maybe once in a while is a little, you know, it's like a lotto McDonald's, ticket. Right?
Why not? Once in a while, have some fun, feel alive.
It's like having a drink. Fine, I'll do a little gamble here. Why not? I got some pieces of GameStop with the room the other day, so that was fun. That was a little gamble. But, you know, I think it's more so just don't, you know, this is something you like. And, you know, I think people feel like, I know this is one perception, is that women tend to be safer traders. They tend to be safer investors. They're very risk averse. And, you know, to an extent that is true. Not to play that card, but it's just something I've seen. But that doesn't have to be true. You know, you can take a risk in life. We do have a lot of the same opportunity now. Like there's no, don't let anything hold you back. This is something you're interested in. And you know, in a lot of ways, it's a really great career path, especially for mothers or, you know, people that are working from home or, you know, you, that have other obligations in their lives. I mean, if you can, if you are disciplined, you follow the plan, you have the dedication, all those traits, there is, you can work 2 hours a day and make, you know, make a income that you can live off of and maybe even like support your family. So, it really is great. And just don't let anyone hold you back. Really. That's my best advice. Don't let any society's perceptions of you hold you back. You can do everything. That you can be the next large Marge if you really want to be.
Exactly. And we're all for it.
Yeah, I love that. It's motivating. Trigger warning. This is going to be controversial because I was thinking about it. And I'm like, George, just shut up. Don't say it. But I think I have to. It's like these days too, there's, you know, the roles are kind of getting blended. It's like, you know, you have males who have feminine energy and are finally getting comfortable being in touch with it. Females that have masculine energy. And so I think it's really cool to not have to paint yourself a certain way, right? And, you know, we always talk about like identifying as a certain type of role or certain type of gender. But I also think that, you know, it kind of does disservice to females a little bit because it's like we have our moment. Like this is it. It's coming up. And I love to see it. I think it's, you know, in my life, I've seen it change a lot. And when I was younger, I didn't understand why. It's like, it's stupid. This should be more balanced. But I feel like, you know, for the female trader out there, it's like, it's easy to get confused and lost into like, how do I start? What do I start? So I would say my advice from a male, I guess, is to just forget about that stuff and just start. You know what I mean? It's like, get started with something, get your hands on it. And everyone wants to always know, you know, before we start something, we always want to know how it's going to end. And I think the reality in trading is you're never going to know. Just start and work with it in real time. And, you know, I love to see females entering this business. I think we could do a lot more for it, you know, especially for risk taking. From my experience though, Sarah, and the one thing that you mentioned, I do find that our female traders, I'm not saying all, but ours in the community are actually better at being risk focused. Like for some reason, and look, I don't know, it's probably genetic. You'd have to look for thousands of years of evolution on how we got to this point, but probably goes back from thousands of years ago where men would go out there and try to kill things and then the females would cook them and take care of the children. But today, in today's day and age, that's totally freaking changed, you know? And in terms of trading, like they're more risk focused. And I think the industry, people who are more risk focused do better. And thing about most males are that they go in there and they take a lot of risk. They're like, I'm a risk taker, let's do this. But that's the worst way to start. That's the way to blow out your account. And I think males suddenly have a realization in this industry, like, oh my God, this is kind of deteriorating my confidence. This is deteriorating who I am as a person. It's like, for us being risk focused is like, you know, another male looks at that, I'd be like, man up, bro, you know, get out there.
That's exactly it, right? It's like, sorry to throw you off there, G, but I think it's like with males, there's ego. I can't really speak for females, but I know with males, like you said, it's that male bravado, right? It's like, you got to be a man, you got to do this. And it always comes back to the ego. And, you know, to your point, from my experience as well, you know, we've had a couple of Trade Pro LaFemmes join us in the boot camps when we were still running them pre-COVID. And you could see it, right? Like I could see it in between the members that were there doing the boot camp. Like the men were a lot more, they tended to be more aggressive with their ideas. They're like, oh, it's going, I gotta get in, I gotta go in. Whereas the female traders were more almost like process based and more like risk focused, right? It's like, oh, well, I don't want to go here because, you know, it's not doing what it should be, or it's not at a good level. Whereas the dudes would be like, excuse my French, don't be a pussy, and, you know, just go for it, right? So I think that's something that I really appreciate about the female traders. And, you know, to the same point, working with a bunch of female traders, it also helps you, right? Like as males, we have our own perspective, and we've been mentioning, you know, how much of a boys club it still is, unfortunately, like you said, 80% to 85% of our audience, even on this podcast, is males. Right. And so we're working to even out that balance. But it's nice to get a different perspective. Right. And it's really opens your eyes up to things. And one thing I'm kind of curious about, you know, in your journey, Sarah, did you have any You know, were you able to kind of identify any aspiring female traders to kind of use as a role model, if you will, to get to where you want to be?
No, to be honest, all my role models were male.
Yeah. See, and so it was kind of a cherry picked question there, right? But the
why would you set her up like that?
Marky? I know. Well, that's the answer that I was kind of hoping for, as bad as it sounds, because that's the issue. I think if you kind of look at it, you know, somebody that's a female looking to get into the industry, they don't really have that person. You know, there are women out there, you know, your March Tellers, your Linda Rashkes,
Kathy Woods.
Kathy Woods, exactly. So you're starting to see that. But I think the bigger issue here is that, you know, you can't really identify with, look, this is somebody else, she's female. You know, I'm not a woman, but I'm a female and I see her doing that. So therefore, to me, it's possible to achieve that. And so thank you for answering that. And I think that's a big thing that we're trying to change is get more females into it. And, you know, happy and honored to have you on the team to kind of lead that charge. And hopefully we'll see with the, you know, fingers crossed, we'll have a nice happy split of males and females in our community.
I think it's age dependent too, right? Like when you're a younger girl or younger boy, you get to the stage where, you know, like up to 7 years old, you look into your family for values and morals and all that. But then after seven, you know, a lot of research suggests that you start looking outside of your circle for influence and for examples and role models, etc. So I think, you know, like the Sarahs, I put you up there, Sarah. You're up there with the Margie Tellers in my eyes with, you know, like you're a phenomenal trader. Like, what can we do? And not just me and Trade Pro and Mark and all of us, but like, what could all other traders do as well to help inspire the future generation of female traders?
I think it's just, you know, having, just being able to say, you know, any of us can do it, right? Like I just said, all my role models were male. I didn't even look at them being a different gender than me as, oh, I can't do it. You know, I just knew I wanted to do this. I was passionate about it and I didn't see any sort of roadblock there. So I think it's more so just kind of having a commitment and effort to remove those roadblocks. And also for those who do feel those roadblocks, which I know some people do, just be supportive of each other and just, you know, really just be there to guide each other through. And, you know, I'm actually part of a Discord of female traders, which is great. And they're all wonderful ladies. And it's almost like a sisterhood, I guess you could say. It's really nice and it's a little bit emotional. But like, you can also talk about everything in there. You can talk about the challenges of, you know, being maybe a female trader with, in terms of, yeah, fine, you can work 2 hours a day trading, but your analysis never stops. Your news never stops. You're committed, right? But you may have other commitments in your life that you know, maybe you want to go on a date and not look at your phone or whatnot. This is stuff we just all talk about. And it's great having that supportive community. Sorry, does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. You know what's crazy though? Like you mentioned the word emotional sisterhood. I feel like when you think of a male, right, the word emotional doesn't come up traditionally, like up until this point. I just think that if you don't think you're emotional, you're just good at suppressing it. Like every human being is emotional. And I think the more you suppress emotion, the more it hits you in the face with full force when you're trading, mm-hmm. right? Like that's your disdain. That's what's going to bring you down. And you know what's cool, Sarah? You mentioned this to me a couple weeks ago, and I don't know if you knew this, but it had a really big impact for me. Like it's the little things. When you were saying, you're like, you know, I started putting out these tweets and I have all these, you know, females contacting me now asking for advice, etc. I just sat at first. I was like, yeah, that's really cool. I'd love to hear it. But then I thought about it that evening. And I'm like, this is insane. It's like it's coming full circle, right? You're creating the future of what it's going to look like. I think fast forward 50 years from now, I think things will be more naturally balanced. And like that really touched me. I'm not even kidding you. I had like almost a tear moment. but it was very touching because, you know, I just talked about emotion and men. I did have a tear moment. It was one of those things that eyes watered a bit because it's like you know, this is the biggest impact we could do, is that I think when somebody succeeds, they hide it. Like, you don't have to post Instagram photos of Lamborghinis and stuff, but you could still be inspirational in the way that you reach these people.
Right.
So it's really cool that you're doing it. And now people, like, females are reaching out to you saying, hey, what's up? Like, how could I learn this as well? And I think that's one of the biggest things we could all do, is just share this openly with females in our circle. Like, we had a client one time said, hey, man, you're going to hate me for this, but I gave my login to my daughter. You know, I know it's one membership, but I'm like, bro, I hate you for thinking I'm going to hate you for it.
Yeah.
By all right? means, you know, share it with your daughters, with your sisters, like, just empower them. And I don't know. That's kind of my message. That's what I hope TradePro does. And yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think the markets are going to be more representative of human psychology when we have a more balanced picture to trade with and against. Right.
Yeah,
no question. Definitely. I just got excited.
That's good. That's good. No, that kind of reminded me again to the boot camp where we had the father daughter combo, and you know, the daughter, she ran with it. I think she was probably, you remember who it was, Georgie. I'm not going to say the name here for privacy, but
I think she's one of our best oil traders.
Like, yeah,
hands really? Down with any, yeah.
She just absolutely like annihilated. Just everything kind of picked it up and applied it. And it was also like the difference in questions that she was asking, you know, whenever during these boot camps, we do one-on-one times, right? So we get about 30 minutes to an hour with each trader. So at that point, it was just myself, Vic, and George. And so anytime we would do these sessions, you know, we'd go through the whole team, and there was, I think, 12 people for these sessions. And you know, she was asking the really good questions, and you can often tell by the questions people ask where they're going to be down the road. And it's honestly no surprise that she is where she is based off of what she was asking at the time.
She's brilliant. And even her story, like, her dad came with her from, I don't want to disclose personal info, but from the other side of the border, from the US, her dad came in the workshop. And we're going around the introductions, and we're asking people who they are, what they do. He's like, I'm just here because I came with my daughter. You know what I mean? I'm here for her, kind of thing. It was super cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a feel-good story for sure.
Yeah, 100%. And so, you know, I think it's going to be a good segue to get into really the last bit of this this interview. I know the audience is getting a lot of value from you, Sarah. And we're about to hit him with a little bit more. And of course, we are the Mind Over Markets podcast, so we're going to have to do a little bit of a focus on mindset and psychology. So if you don't mind, we're going to throw some questions your way, and we'll see what you get. So first and foremost, you kind of discussed your trading journey, and you know, the audience is more aware of, you know, kind of how you progress and how your journey wasn't regular by any means. It wasn't the traditional journey. But that being the case, I'm kind of curious, between where you started to where you are now, how has the mindset changed, or how has the mindset developed throughout that time? And if there were any limiting beliefs when you kind of started that you were feeling were sabotaging your progress at that time?
Well, like I said earlier, my mindset has changed more so by not having expectations, by coming up with a plan, really by not YOLOing my account and using Google to refresh a chart, right? So there has been quite a difference in mindset. And in terms of limitations, I guess, you know, it is more so if I had any limitations, I was setting them on myself. And it was more so just setting myself up for disaster by having these super high expectations, right? So by saying, oh, you know, in a year I'm going to be making like 50 grand a year. You know what I mean? And it's like, that's not how it works. You know, the most I've ever made personally in a day is just over 20,000. And that I haven't made that since. That was in September. I have not made that since. So, you know, and I'm in year four, right? So it's more so having and that's a huge day, right? So in the options market. So it's not, you know, it's not something that, you shouldn't have unrealistic expectations, really, is what was the big game changer for me. That was my limitation, was unrealistic expectations. Don't fall victim to it.
Beautifully said. Beautifully said. So, you know, on the back of your largest day, I'm kind of curious, you know, when the losers do come, how do you deal with them? Is there something, do you like revamp your plan? You go back in and say, you know, a lot of retail traders will go in, they'll take a loss and they'll say, how do I not take that loss ever again? And they'll try to refine the strategy. So I'm kind of curious how you deal with losing streaks, losing trades, and what your process is kind of going forward.
So of course I'm still human. You know, I'm not a cyborg, so I get upset, right? It's probably usually best. They say, you know, trading, go reset for the day, whatnot. Don't emotionally trade. Sometimes I still do emotionally trade, and you know what? Sometimes it's worked, but it usually doesn't. 99% of the time it doesn't. So,
yeah.
Really how I try to deal with it is, you know, I don't totally revamp my strategy. I always, of course, look to see what did I do wrong. I actually had that two weeks ago, I took, I think it was like a $5,000 hit on a Friday. And I was just like, how did this happen? Like, it's like every single time you take a hit, it feels like the rug has been pulled from underneath your feet. And it doesn't matter, you know, they say insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results kind of thing. But it's like, you know, like it's, we're not going to stop trading. We're going to keep taking those losses. Right. So yeah. Maybe it is insane in a way, but it's a good insanity. It's, you know, the good type of crazy, but anyway, sorry. I do like to kind of take a break, look into maybe things I could have done differently, maybe review it. But I also know that I have a solid plan. And the one thing you can't lose is conviction in your future trades. If you bring that mindset, let's say I took a loss that Friday, I was upset. Saturday, Sunday, you know, I just relaxed. But if I came in Monday with the same mindset I had on Friday, you know, I would have lost even more. And that Monday I came back a bit. I made some losses back and I felt good. And it's just more so, it was just something that was out of my control that I didn't see, right? Like sometimes, you know, you leave your computer for a second, you come back and, you know, your account's down, like just got wiped, right? It was a rug pull in the market. So it really is just not bringing that mindset over to the next day and just leaving it in the past, because that's what it is. Yesterday was the past, but also taking the lessons from it, right?
100%. There is a quote that a couple of the people that we've interviewed on this show often say, and it goes along these lines. It is what it is, right? You can't really anchor to your losses. You know, just to kind of piggyback off what Sarah mentioned, is you can't really anchor the results of a previous day, and you can't anchor that to your current day, right? If you took a loss on you know, in her case, it was a Friday, you can't come into Monday with that loss fresh in your mind. Cause if you're worried about making those same mistakes, guess what? You're going to make them. Right. And so, appreciate you, you know, being honest and transparent, on that front. And, you know, kind of the next question I have for you here is then, when you do find yourself getting emotional, do you have any kind of rules in place or processes in place that if you identify yourself getting emotional, you step away? Or I'm kind of curious as to what your process is around, you know, self-awareness with emotions creeping into your trading and how you kind of deal with that.
It's almost like, what's my stop loss for the day? How do I step away from it? I literally just need to step away for a bit. I need to relax. You know, it's tough because you go to relax in the other room, then you hear your trading view go off with a ding and some sort of target's been hit and it's a new opportunity and you come running back excited again. But I do try to, I need to step away for a bit. It may not even be a whole day because whatever, like sometimes, yeah, there is that opportunity there and you have to jump on it. You have to trade what you see, like I said earlier. But you just do something else. There's nothing in life I'm more passionate about than this industry and options and helping others achieve financial freedom. But at the same time, there is more to life too. And we can't, like, as traders, a lot of the time we do lose that balance. And that actually, I feel, hinders your trading. It's like, you're all in it, you know, like it can be like an obsession, I guess, in a way. But at the same time, like, don't forget other important aspects of your life and other things that make you happy and have your don't lose your ground. You know, do something that's grounding, something that, like, for me, it could be, you know, maybe even just going over to a friend's house or going for a nice walk. It's a beautiful day, you know, and just remembering that there's other things to life, you know, and that's, that's actually, in a way, a good way to reset. So.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I did that today. There's, you know, we just moved into, I guess, a suburb of Toronto, and we have a trail network not even 200, 300 meters away from where we live, right? So anytime I get upset or frustrated or I start noticing emotions creeping into my trading, that's my time, you know? This is the time to kind of step out, step away, go for a walk, clear your head. And like you said, there's more to life than trading, right? It does take up a big part of our life, but at the end of the day, if you're trading and if you're doing it right, you're doing it for a purpose other than to make money, right? And I think that's super important. And really the last thing I have to kind of ask you here before we start on the wrap up is on that topic of success. All right. How do you gauge your own success in your trading? Is it based on, you know, whether you're making money at the end of the day or not? Or is it whether you're kind of like following the plans and processes you've kind of put in play and whether you're remaining disciplined with regards to executing on those?
For me, it's more, you know, yes, of course, I love the dopamine hit in my brain when I make quick profits and I'm like, yes, I'm done. And I, you know, I like to take every, because I used to work in accounting, so I know Excel so well. I have so many spreadsheets and sometimes I like to plug it in. Other days I'm lazy, but in theory, I like to plug it in and I'm all happy. But to be honest, what's also really rewarding is one, helping others and showing the gratitude. Like when we did that live scalp, it was on game. I remember 2-3 Fridays ago. That was not the day I lost money, by the way. It was a different Friday. That day I did well. I made, I think it was like 3,700 in just the game scalp. And we all scalped together and everyone was just so, you know, happy because I walked them through the process of what to do. And that was a really good example of just trading what the market gave me. I mean, I wasn't forcing it. There's 3 halts on game that day and to the upside. And it was an opportunity and we pounced on it. Right. So, I think, just having, you know, helping others make a trade like that could have made someone's day, right? So just helping others, teaching them, being able, when they show gratitude, it's just, it makes me feel great. You know, and also I think for myself, just being able to take a lesson, whether it's a loss or a gain, like I always know when I've had a mental breakthrough. And like I've said, 10 years from now, let's say we do this podcast, I'm still going to be saying there's more I need to learn, right? This is a never ending, like you're going to be learning about this for the rest of your life, right? Because it's just, there's so much. But I always know when I've had some sort of mental breakthrough in terms of knowledge. And that's great because, you know, it just adds more conviction, more confidence to your trades. And I had one like last week, like I figured out something new. And I was like, you know what, this is going to be great to implement into my trading plan. And I think just having that as well and just going through those milestones without having expectation, but just knowing you've broken through and you've learned something, that's also a really great feeling.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think we kind of mentioned it too on a daily basis in the room, in the futures room. For those that might not be aware, George and myself run the futures room and then Sarah and our other trader, Victoria, run the options room. And so we often say it, you know, regardless of the day that we're having, if the team as a collective does well, you know, that is better for us really than our actual result. Yeah, it's nice to make money, but it's even better of a feeling when everyone's winning, right? And so I think that's kind of the driving force behind Trade Pro Academy is it's a collective, right? We want everybody to win. And everybody's success is our success, right? Because we don't want to be the only ones making money. We want to teach other people the skills in order to do the same, right? So I think we're gonna start wrapping this bad boy up here. Another couple of questions. George, I don't know if you've got anything to add here. I feel like
the discussion is going so good between you guys. And I just add the ridiculous element that I've been a listener this last like 10 minutes. It's been great. I think you guys are I'm enjoying it as much as the people listening to it right now. I do have 5 really rapid fire questions. I prepared something for you, Sarah, just for fun.
Sweet.
But I want to leave that at the end.
Oh, man.
or should we do it now? Are we ready, Marky? Are we...
Oh, we're always ready. Let's do it.
Are we going to wrap up, or do you have some more you wanted to...
We've got 1 or 2 more wrap-up questions, but I'm kind of curious to hear this rapid fire.
Can we play Jeopardy?
All right, Sarah, 5 questions, rapid fire. Looking for quick responses.
All right.
You ready?
I think so.
If you were... Perfect. If you were a stock, which one would you be?
Tesla.
That was coming. All right. If you went to a costume party, which Greek symbol would you dress up as?
Gamma.
The obscure one, but the fun one.
Yes.
Which would be harder to give up, caffeine or alcohol?
Caffeine.
If your best friend gave you a traitor nickname, what do you think it would be?
Oh, God.
I think I know this one.
Really? You already have an answer?
Mm-hmm.
No, we don't. It's... How do you know, Mark? You'd have to... Are you her best friend?
So the traitor that actually... Okay, this is kind of funny. I'm sorry. This is cutting into your rapid fire momentum.
That's okay.
Because when I wasn't really, you know, because there's a steep learning curve, there's some things I wasn't understanding. The institutional traitor that was teaching me, because it was almost like a boot camp, he would say, you know what, that's it. You're going to have to go. Once you get this, you're going to start your own trading thing, and it's going to be called Ditzy Trades. Because he'd be like, oh, you're a blonde ditz, you know, like, come on. Like, it was like a... And I'm like, no, I'm not even like a real blonde, first off. Second of all, I literally started like learning this a month ago. It was when I first started. So yeah, Ditzy Trades.
Ditzy Trades.
That's amazing. It won't stick with you, I promise. And no, last one.
I think I'm not Ditzy Trades anymore, but at the beginning, when you know you're YOLOing your account in, yeah, you can be Ditzy Trades.
Love it. This one, I gotta preface this with a disclaimer. This is not trading advice or any solicitation to buy a particular stock. What do you think GME's market cap will be in 15 years? And it's an answer between two of them. 30 trillion or zero?
I'll go with zero.
All right. Awesome. That's it. I just wanted to have some fun. I just feel like we don't have enough fun sometimes. And I just thought this is a nice little break moment. And that's all. That's why I didn't want to ask anything, Marky. That's the nonsense I wanted
to
ask.
No, that's perfect. That's perfect. And, you know, just to wrap things up here, we're going to leave it off with one final question, and it's going to be to Sarah. What is one common myth that you often hear about trading, and can you debunk it for us?
Oh.
One that I haven't covered, like you're not going to be a millionaire in, you know, a month.
Our sales just went down.
Yeah, I know. Sorry, guys.
No, but it's true. 100%. We don't want... I mean, it's not we don't want, but those people don't do well in our community anyways.
No. I guess a myth would be that it doesn't, you know, that doesn't take much, which we've already kind of covered. But, you know, like, oh, like you can just kind of read the... Like, it doesn't take that much work to do. It takes a ton of work to be profitable as a trader, and you will pay the market to teach you, and you'll keep paying. Like I said, I'm always learning. So I'm still paying. Every loss is still a premium I'm paying to the market just to get better, to learn that lesson. So I think it's, I think it's more so just thinking that this is something that's easy and we have these luxurious lifestyles that, you know, have been like, there is an aspect of this community where we make it look easy, you know, like we say, okay, well, we did the scalp, and sometimes we post profits, and you know, sometimes I do too, right? I'm not posting, you know, my returns from my stock portfolio that I've been holding for a few years, right? But like some people do, but I have, you know, I'll post a scalp here and there in the morning, why not? And we make it look easy, and it's not easy. You know, it's not easy. That scalp, of which I don't know if everyone knows what a scalp is, but you're only in a trade for about a minute sometimes. And just to trail off for a minute, Victorio is like the scalp king now.
Yeah,
I've never seen someone trade like that. Like when, for our listeners, if you trade futures and then you come over to the options room, because futures are so much faster, Like Victorio is like such a good example of applying the future speed to options. He's done like 20 trades and I've done like two, right? But anyway,
Scalptorio, that's his new nickname.
Yeah, we call him Scalptorio now. But I think it's just, we make it look easy and it's not. That's why we have so many resources here at Trade Pro Academy, and we're always coming up with new content, new courses. And they're not, like, even the order flow course that's coming out, it's not easy. And you're going to have to watch it, and you're going to have to be dedicated and take notes, and you're probably going to watch it like 5 times. So even though we make it look easy, it's not. So that is probably the biggest myth, I would say, there is to trading.
Can I tell you my favorite tweet? That's fantastic, by the way, Sarah. I agree. I'm, like, if I had to choose one, if you asked me that, Mark, I'd say the same thing. You didn't, I know. But one of my favorite tweets of 2021, Trade Pro Flow's great tweets as well, but Victorio, when he posted minus $5,000 in his account that day and he put a hashtag, trading is easy.
Yeah.
You know, it's, I think, true. It's important, yeah, to be part of a community that also shows you the downside. Because look, we're good traders, right? But when we have down days, we also discuss them. I had a minus $8,000 day, and I went in there and I talked to people about what caused it, how we're going to correct it, and it hasn't happened since.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, that's what I love about what we do, is that it's so easy to post these statements, but you got to be careful in this industry, because how hard is it to open an account at TD Waterhouse, one at let's say Robinhood, and you're trading Tesla, you buy 100 shares on one, you short it on the other. One of them is going to win. Easy to post that, right? It's like, you got to be very careful, because I know a lot of professional traders. I've been in this game for a long time. Not one of them posts like results with like, haha. It's like they're more likely to post the negative ones, actually. Like, here's what I learned. What a crappy day. And I think that's a sign of caution for newer traders. I know it's sexy, I know it's appealing, but we kind of want to help you build the sort of wealth that you have a Lamborghini, but you don't got to post it on Instagram. That's kind of our approach, and we care about you guys. I'm going to shut up. Marky, you could wrap it up. And Sarah, thank you so much for being on with us. It was a great
chat.
Thank
you. And, that was awesome.
Bottom of my heart, I'm blessed to be able to work with you, and you're a great addition to our team.
Likewise. It's, you know, it's a real honor, and absolutely love the community, love our listeners and you guys. And it's just, there's a lot, you know, there's a lot of exciting things coming, and there's a lot of knowledge to share. And I'm looking for, hopefully we'll do this again sometime, because it's been great.
How cool is it that we get to do our dream job and we get to do it together? I think that's the beautiful part. But like, even the whole community, right? It's any one person, their circle probably thinks they're nuts for trading. And then you join our community, and then now you're part of a family that does that. People that get you, right? And like, it's awesome to be able to wake up and want to go to work. Monday is my favorite day. There's a t-shirt idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's make sure to copyright that or trademark it.
Yeah, right.
Somebody's already stole it. You can't be original anymore.
Yeah, no, that's perfect, Sarah. I really appreciate you taking the time to chat with us. I do look forward to the day that we're all back in the office together in person, live and direct. But until then, you know, it's a pleasure to share the realms with you guys on a daily basis. So that's going to be a wrap on today's episode, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you guys enjoyed this one. If you guys did enjoy it, make sure to share it with your friends on socials, and for anybody that you think might find some insight or some interest in, you know, trading the markets, especially if you have some friends or colleagues that might be females as well, you know, share the encouragement, share this episode. And until next time, guys, good luck and good trading.
And just one last second addition. Sarah, could you give your Twitter handle for anyone that's listening to this? If you have a female trader, or anyone, any trader that's interested, females primarily, because we want to get them activated in this business. Could you share your handle on Twitter where you post stuff, or Instagram, of how they could reach you? I want you to share that with other people, because there's a lot of people looking for a role model. And look, I know it's a heavy responsibility. Maybe you didn't sign up for that, but please tell people where they can reach you.
Well, so I have my... I do have the Trade Pro Flow Twitter, which I do post smart money flow daily, which is something you can incorporate into your trading plan. I focus particularly on unusual flow. You know, I'm not going to be tweeting testless call sweeps coming through the tape for a scalp, but I will tweet unusual names, something you can't find on most order flow platforms. But so my Instagram, my personal right now is Sarachka, which is, I'm not Russian, but it's a Russian nickname, Sarachka underscore gloss. But I'm going to be making a new Instagram and another personal Twitter, probably called Sarachka Trades, which I'm just going to, from 9 to, or weekdays till 4 or 5 p.m., I'll be doing the unusual flow on Trade Pro Flow. But then, you know, casually on weekends and maybe nights, maybe a little bit of chart analysis, a little bit of combined analysis on my personal accounts. So I will, once I make those accounts, I'll share them with the community. And yeah, I'd love to talk to mentor anybody, female or male, if they want to learn flow. And, you know, it's telling you it can be life changing. So
awesome. We're going to make sure to throw those in the show notes. So when you do get it, get those up and running, we'll make sure that the audience can find you. So that's going to be a wrap, guys. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen, especially if you stuck around till the end. Until next time, good luck and good trading. Final out. Take care, guys.
Thanks for listening to the Mind Over Market podcast. You can find us at tradeproacademy.com.